There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. We live in a world that is constantly calling out for peace, constantly calling out for freedom, constantly crying out for just another day of peace. We see this at the national and international level. Men are gathering together, trying to strike peace accords in the Middle East and trying to find various factions and tribes of people and stop them from fighting against one another. We know that marriages today are constantly striving for peace, and people are trying to resolve marital conflict and family conflict. And even in the workplaces today, it's hard to find a place where people just get along, where men and women just work together without having problems. It seems as though even though people want to have peace, peace is eluding one another at this time, and people are not able to find it in the way that they would like. I'm reminded of a situation I experienced some years ago as we were driving on the freeway down in Los Angeles, I think on Interstate 5 maybe, driving along. And it was one of those days where the traffic was pretty tense and you were just trying to get to the destination without a bad attitude, you know, just trying to get along the freeway there and maintain some peace of mind and so forth. And there was a car in front of me. I noticed it as I approached it that was just kind of jerking back and forth and one lane to the next lane type of thing, and after a little while I noticed that the driver was lighting cigarettes and trying to light the cigarettes while she was driving, and then she was just sucking those cigarettes like that, you know, and as she would suck a cigarette, she'd kind of move into the wrong lane for a minute. And I got a little bit closer, and I noticed a bumper sticker on her car. It said, "Another woman for world peace," and I watched this lady for a while as lane to lane, and a guy came just a little bit too close to her, and she put her fist out the window and started yelling at him. And I mean, she was just all kinds of things going on in that car and saying things to people and smoking the cigarettes. And I thought to myself for just a moment, good night. She can't even have peace in that car all by herself, much less worldwide peace. You know, everyone thinks of changing humanity, but no one ever thinks of changing himself. And I don't know about you this morning, but the fact of the matter is that I'm not a finished product, and I don't think any of us are really finished products. I think that God wants us to look at our own lives in the light of Scripture and be willing to say, Lord, what do you want changed in my life today? Lord, how can I be at peace with you today? How can I please you in my life today? And Romans chapter 8 is such an exciting chapter because really this chapter is a declaration of the freedom and the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. It's a declaration of the freedom that God's people have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, it's interesting just to give a quick thought about this chapter that more than 12 times we read in this chapter the word Spirit, capital S, speaking of the Holy Spirit of God. And we read in this chapter concerning the Holy Spirit and His relationship to the peace that each believer experiences. You see, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Where God's Spirit is present, where God's Spirit is working, there will be liberty and peace in the life of a believer. And really, beginning in Romans chapter 5 and coming down through Romans chapter 8, you can see the promise that God gives to us for peace in the life of the believer. You see, sin will rob us from peace, but following the Lord Jesus Christ will always restore peace into the life of a believer. Now notice with me in the scriptures this morning, first of all, that there is peace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is peace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1 says it this way. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I want you to notice in this verse that Christ does not condemn us. The phrase there, to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, is really a descriptive phrase of what a Christian's life is supposed to be. So we can say in verse number 1, there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Our sin and even the law of God condemn us, but the gospel of Jesus Christ and His grace pardons us. Though we were sinners, lost and without God, yet God by His grace offers salvation. And He says, to anyone who comes to My Son and is saved by grace, there is no more condemnation over their life. Though the Bible says we are dead in our trespasses and sins, yet because of the grace of God, Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation. To those of us, Romans 6, 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, and yet the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God says, I have a gift for you. Though you were condemned, yet if you will come to Jesus, there is no more condemnation. Romans 5, 1 says it this way. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, friend, when Jesus died on the cross and when Jesus shed His blood on the cross for your sin, He offers through the shedding of that blood a complete covering, a complete forgiveness of sin. And anyone who will receive Christ as Savior may have that pardon, may know that they are not condemned, but that they have the forgiveness of God. And let's just notice the phrase here in verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are, notice this phrase, in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't want to overcomplicate, nor do I want to oversimplify, but I believe it is scriptural to say this morning, we are either in Christ or we are out of Christ. We are either in a relationship with Jesus Christ and having been born again by Christ's blood, or we are out of Christ. 1 John 5:11, the Bible says, he that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life. Thank God today that if you have accepted Christ as Savior, you are in Christ. I think a great illustration of that is Noah. Some of you will recall the story of Noah back in Genesis chapter 6 and 7. God looked down from heaven, and the Bible says when He saw the earth, He saw that men did only wickedness in the eyes of God continually. Their imaginations were continually wicked. Sometimes we think we live in the most wicked day that the world has ever seen, but apparently there have been other very wicked times on the face of this earth. And so God said, Noah, my plan at this time for this earth is that I'm going to bring a flood, and I want you to create and build an ark so that when that flood comes, anyone who'll go into that ark will be spared. You say, Pastor Chappell, do you believe that story? God wrote it. I believe it. Amen. I believe this Bible from cover to cover. Well, God said, Noah, I want you to go out preaching. Now, from the human standpoint, Noah would have been a failure. Because Noah preached and preached and preached, but he didn't really see any converts except his own family. But you know, in the eyes of God, he wasn't a failure because he'd been faithful. And Noah, as he preached and as he prepared, one day the Bible says the rain began to come down. And the Bible says that Noah and his family were in the ark. Now, the ark is what we would call a type of Jesus Christ. You see, inside that ark, it was covered with pitch. On the outside of the ark, it was covered with pitch. And it's interesting, the Hebrew word for pitch is the same as the Hebrew word for atonement, you see. And we know today that you and I, if we are in Christ, we have been covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful verse we find in Genesis 7:16. The Bible says, and the Lord shut them in. Friend, when you accept Jesus Christ as Savior, God shuts you in. It's settled with God. You are in Christ. You are either in Christ today or you are out of Christ today. And we see here today that Christ will not condemn anyone who has come to him by faith. And so there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Friend, if you're saved this morning, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, there's no condemnation. Thank you for the forgiveness of sin. Thank you for a home in heaven. But not only do we see here that Christ does not condemn us, but secondly, we see that sin does not control us. As the children of God, we now have the Spirit of God in our lives, and we now have the opportunity to follow the Spirit of God. Verse 2 says this, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Now, sin no longer has to control the life of a believer. Picture it in this way as we look at verses 2 through 4. Picture a penny falling down from the sky, falling helplessly, falling powerlessly, and yet all of a sudden someone puts their hand out and they reach out for that penny, they take that penny and place it into their pocket. Now this is the picture of you and I. You and I were powerless. You and I were hopeless. And yet even as someone by the spirit of their life takes that penny and overcomes the power of gravity, so God, by the spirit of His Son, reached out and offered salvation to you and to me. Jesus came, the Bible says in verse 3, the latter part of that verse, in the likeness of sinful flesh. He never sinned, but He took on the form of man. And there, the Bible says in verse 3, He condemned sin in the flesh. That means that when Jesus died on the cross, He conquered sin and the death. He paid for our sin on Calvary's tree, and He won the victory over Satan on the cross of Calvary. Now, the difference between us and that coin is simply this. The coin is falling without a choice. But you and I, though falling helplessly, we have a choice. And when we understand that Jesus died for our sins on the cross and He puts His hand out to us, we have the choice to respond to Him and to receive salvation by faith. We have a free will with which we can make that choice. And when we turn to Jesus Christ and we accept Him as Savior, that free fall stops. And now by His Spirit, we are saved forevermore. And we no longer have to walk after the flesh. But now we can walk after the Spirit of God. No Christian has to be in bondage to the flesh, but he can have power and victory through the Spirit of God. Notice in Romans chapter 6, just to elaborate just a little more on the matter of sin not controlling a believer. Romans 6 and verse 11. "Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, since Christ has died upon the cross, and since He won the victory for sin there, now we as Christians need to recognize, I'm dead unto sin. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, Galatians 2:20 says. I don't want to live this life in my power, but through the power of Jesus Christ. So it says in verse 12 of Romans 6, "Let not sin therefore reign or rule in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Friend, Christ does not condemn us as Christian people. Sometimes you see the bumper sticker that says, "Christians aren't perfect, just forgiven." That's true. Christ does not condemn us. But beyond salvation, what a blessing to know that sin does not have to control us because Jesus Christ won the victory for sin on the cross of Calvary. No Christian has to be in bondage to sin. He can be at peace through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is peace in the person of Jesus Christ. Thank God there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Thank God verse 3 says that his own son came in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin he condemned sin in the flesh. When Jesus died on the cross, he paid for the victory that you and I can experience through him. Now notice there is peace not only in the person of Christ, but secondly this morning, there is peace in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. There is peace in the power, or through the power, of the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice if you would in verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now in verses 5 through 8, we're going to see a comparison between the saved and the lost. Later on, we're going to see that the Christian must battle between the spirit and the flesh. But right here, we're seeing a contrast between the unsaved and the saved. Notice, first of all, when a person receives Christ as Savior, he does have the Holy Spirit of God in his life. Verse 9 says, at the latter portion, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." So when the Bible refers to people walking after the Spirit, it is referring to saved people who have the Holy Spirit of God in their life. The Bible says, for example, in verse number 16 of chapter 8, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." So if you have been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, then His Spirit indwells your life. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20 says, "Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit." Now, having said that, notice verse 5. "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." The man who has not received Christ has one choice, that is to follow his flesh. But the man who has received Christ can mind the things of the Spirit. That's why our notes this morning say the Holy Spirit guides our mind. God's Holy Spirit wants to guide and direct our mind in the way that we should go. Now the unsaved man, verse 5 says, he follows the flesh. But the saved man walks after the things of the Spirit. The unsaved man, verse 6 says, is spiritually dead. The Bible says, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." How many of you remember in Ephesians 2 and verse 1, Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." God's word says, before we accepted Christ as Savior, we were spiritually dead. It didn't make sense. We didn't desire it. We didn't want God's word, God's house. We didn't want to pray or give or serve. Those things were foreign to us. We were spiritually dead. But one day when we received Christ, we were quickened. Our senses spiritually came alive to the things of God. And so the saved man is spiritually alive in Jesus Christ. That's what verse 6 says. "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." You see, simply stated this morning, the saved man has the privilege of being guided by the Holy Spirit of God. The saved man has the privilege of having the mind of the Spirit. He wants to guide our mind. And when we allow the Spirit of God to guide our mind, the result is always a life of peace. Isaiah 26 and verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Now it gets even more practical at this point. Not only does God want to guide our mind, but God wants to guide our members or our body. And I want you to see this as we read here. Notice specifically in verse number 10 and 11. "And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you." Think of that. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. And we said, according to verse 9, if you're saved, that Spirit does dwell in you. So what does the rest of the verse say? "He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you." In other words, God doesn't want to simply guide our mind. God wants to guide our members or our body. Our entire life can be guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Verse 11 says, "The same Spirit
that raised up Jesus from the dead is indwelling my life and yours if we have received Christ as Savior. How many of you think that ought to make a difference in the way we live? And so we see the Holy Spirit guides our mind, but He wants to guide our members. And the Holy Spirit of God will bring our bodies to a spiritual productivity. Our hands, our mouths, our feet, our lives will be used for God. Why is it that someone wants to come to church this morning? Why is it that someone wants to tell their friend about Jesus? Why is it that someone wants to give to the missions program? Simply stated, the Holy Spirit of God is at work in their heart. And you see, friend, that's the thing that drives and constrains us as Christians ultimately, is that we are being compelled by the Holy Spirit of God. Why does someone this morning find in their lives a hard-heartedness or habitual sin? Because they're not following the Holy Spirit of God. God's Holy Spirit is not guiding their mind or their members. But when God is guiding our mind and our members, we're going to desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me illustrate it this way. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:19, "Quench not the Spirit of God." You see, when Jesus came into your life by way of the person of His Holy Spirit, God's Spirit took up residence in your life. And the Holy Spirit's not some mystical existence out there somewhere. He is a person of the Godhead who's in our life today. He wants to convict us and guide us and comfort us and help us. Now, God says, "I'm with you in the person of my Spirit." Therefore, He says, "Don't quench me. Don't put me off. When I'm trying to lead you the spiritual way, don't turn your back on me and go the fleshly way." Don't quench the Holy Spirit of God. If you've been saved any length of time, you've sensed that God's Spirit is in your life. And you know what it is to obey Him and to have a kind attitude and a loving spirit and a desire for God. And you also know when you turn and you get frustrated and you go the way perhaps of the world. And God says, "Don't do that. Don't quench me." Now, most of us at times in our lives have quenched the Holy Spirit, and what a sad thing that is. But our goal this morning is to let Him guide our mind and our members and not to quench Him. I heard of a teenage girl that was out with some friends some time ago, and one of the boys began to say, "Hey, we're going to go to another party, and we're going to have a band there, and there's going to be some liquor and a bunch of people you know." And the girl said, I don't want to go. And he said, "Come on, we're all going. You can have fun." And after a while, the young man said, "Look, are you afraid that your father will hurt you if you go?" And she said, "No, I'm afraid that I'll hurt him if I go." Now, as God's people, we need to live with this knowledge in mind. We need to live with the knowledge in our minds that when we go our own way, we're hurting the Holy Spirit. We're quenching the Spirit. We're grieving God. And far more important than coming to church for your wife or your Sunday school teacher or anyone else is that you'd say, "Lord, Your Spirit is guiding my mind, guiding my feet right now to go to Your house. I want to do this for You. I don't want to quench You, Lord." And what a great day it is in the life of a Christian when he's living on that plane and on that level and the Holy Spirit is guiding his mind and guiding his members. And friend, we need God's power in our lives. And that's why we cannot and we must not quench the Holy Spirit. So first of all, there is peace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no condemnation to those that are in Jesus. And if you're saved this morning, you have a peace in your heart to know you're not condemned, you are forgiven. But then what about after salvation? What about those times when Christians are defeated and without peace? What is the key then? And the key is the Holy Spirit of God. There is power through the Holy Spirit of God that if we will come and say, "Lord, I want You to guide my mind and guide my members," then we can have power through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. But I want you to see thirdly and finally this morning that there is peace in the persistence of the believer. There is peace in the persistence of the believer. You see, when a Christian chooses to go the way of the world and the flesh, he is going to find ultimately no peace, and spiritually, he is going to begin to die on the vine. His family may be devastated. His life may just literally, as the Bible says in these verses time and time again, to be carnally minded is death. There will come a spiritual decaying to him. But when a Christian persistently follows the Holy Spirit and God is guiding their mind and their members, there comes into his life a vitality and a peace that is from God Almighty. Now notice what verse 12 says. "Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh." Let me tell you something. You don't owe that old worldly crowd anything. You're not a debtor to the flesh. The world says you deserve a break today. If it feels good, do it. Hey, you need some time with your buddies to go out and be one of the boys. But the Bible says you don't owe the flesh anything, but as a Christian, we owe Jesus everything. And that's where we need to come in our life, you see. A believer who persistently follows the Spirit's leading will have an absence of guilt. He will have an absence of shame. He will have an absence of remorse. And he will experience the peace and the joy of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the shame that a man puts on you or the guilt that a man puts on you. I'm telling you, if you're saved and you're not living for God, God's Holy Spirit brings what we call conviction into our life. And when there's conviction, there's no joy. Don't relabel that conviction and call it man-made guilt, because sometimes and oft times it's the Holy Spirit of God touching your heart and saying, you're quenching me. Come back to this way. The Bible says in Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, and peace. And my friend, when we're following the Holy Spirit persistently, there's going to come a peace in my heart and a joy in my heart. I'm doing what's right. I'm going where I should go. I'm loving my family the way that I should love them. I'm reading the Word of God. And there's a peace that comes into the life of someone who consistently obeys God. And when he goes back and he turns away from God, the peace leaves him. And if you've been saved any length of time, you know the joy of serving God. And you know the sorrow of quenching God's Holy Spirit. And so we can persistently, as believers, follow the Spirit and have God's peace in our life. Now, the Bible says that living after the flesh brings death. But I want you to notice in verse 13, living after the Spirit brings life. If we want to keep our spiritual lives alive and filled with vitality, then we need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit through His Word, as He convicts our heart, as we pray. God's Spirit will guide and direct us. Let's notice verse 13 together. It says, for if ye live, and I want to take note right here, verses 5 through 8, we're talking about unsaved, saved, okay? The unsaved were the carnally minded. The saved were called the spiritually minded. But in verse 13, this is all to the saved now. And it says very, very clearly, if ye live, verse number 13 of chapter 8. So now he's saying to the Christians at Rome, he says, if you as a Christian live after the flesh, ye shall die. Now it may not be a physical death immediately, but there will come a decaying, there will come a spiritual rotting process for a Christian who lives totally after his flesh, his pleasures, his desires, his way, and he neglects the Spirit of God. Ultimately, he'll destroy his family, he'll destroy his own life. Friend, it happens in Christians' lives sometimes. And what a tragic thing when it does happen. So in verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But notice this part. But if ye through the Spirit, again, through the power of the Holy Spirit in you, make note of this fact, you and I cannot win the victory over the flesh. That's why the power of positive thinking talks and tapes and books are fatally flawed. For the man who says, I'm never going to do that again. Ooh, I'll never do that again. I can't believe that again. I'm going to clean up my act. He won't clean it up. But the power of the Spirit in you can give you the victory. And that's what verse 13 says. But if ye through the Spirit, if through the Spirit of God, you mortify, that means put to death the deeds of the body, ye shall live. In the flesh route, I'm going to ruin my life, my family, and yet in the way of the Spirit, I'm going to bring it to life. There's going to be peace, and there's going to be vitality in my life spiritually. And so through the Spirit of God, we can conquer the wrongdoings, not only the ones in the mind, but the ones in the body. Now notice what it says in verse 13. For if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now when we think about the deeds of the body or the wrongdoings of the body, there could be many thoughts. There could be gossip. There could be going into a bar. There could be going to the wrong kinds of parties. The deeds of the body could include all kinds of sexual sin. And by the way, any sexual relationship outside of marriage is never pleasing to God and always outside of the will of God. And so when we see here the Bible saying, through the Spirit we can mortify the deeds of the body, you can have victory over those things as you are filled with God's Spirit and following God's Spirit in your life. In fact, turn over to Romans 6:13 for just a moment. It says this, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness. unto sin. Again, the term your members, your body, your members. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. The unsaved man doesn't have a choice, but the saved man can yield himself to God's Holy Spirit. He can yield himself and avail himself to the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So through obedience to the Holy Spirit, there can be victory in your life, and there can be peace in your soul as you yield to the Holy Spirit of God. That's why Isaiah 32:17 simply says, "And the work of righteousness shall be peace." When I follow the Holy Spirit of God, I'm going to work righteousness. And when I'm working righteousness in my life is going to have peace within my heart. And I can put my head down on the pillow at night and know that I did right. And what a great thing it is to follow after the Spirit rather than to follow after flesh. We understand the Bible is absolutely 100% correct. If you live after the flesh, even as a Christian, you shall die. You will bring your life to a mortification process. But if ye through the Spirit, not in my power, but if through God's power, I can turn around and live for Jesus Christ, I will live with vitality as a Christian. And that's why we need to depend on the power of the Holy Spirit within us, so that we can have, as we sang about a moment ago, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. And that victory is found as I yield to the Holy Spirit of God. And while others want to straighten things out at work, and while others want to straighten things out at the church, what we need to do this morning is say, "Lord, bring a revival into my life. Help me, Lord, to follow after your Spirit, so that one person at a time we can see something happen in this country once again and in our lives once again. And God, as long as I'm at peace with you, then that's the most important thing. As long as I know there's no condemnation because of Jesus. As long as I know that I'm walking according to your Spirit. And Lord, when I turn and when I'm thinking of self or thinking wrong thoughts, Lord, and I hear you convict me, help me to turn quickly back to follow your Spirit so that I don't get too far down the trail of the flesh. Because, Lord, I don't want to kill my family. I don't want to kill my relatives. I don't want to ruin what good you're doing here. I want to be turning around quickly to follow after your Spirit. And then as I persistently walk this way, there's going to come a peace in my heart. And I'll be able to sing, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.' I'll be able to sing, 'I come to the garden of alone while the dew is still on the roses, and he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own.'" And that's the peace of God the Bible speaks about in Philippians 4:6, which passes all understanding. What a privilege today to know that there is peace in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We call that salvation. And then what a privilege to know that there is peace through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We call that sanctification. As we live more and more for the Lord through the power of His Spirit, we are sanctified from this world. And that's the goal of the Christian life. Not only to be saved, thank God you're saved, but then secondly, to live in the power of His Spirit. And until He comes again, may that be our goal. You might be here this morning and say, "I'm not sure that I'm ready to meet God. I don't have peace with God." Then this morning, we're going to invite you to come and trust Christ as Savior so that over your account can be written the words, "No condemnation." You might be here this morning and say, "Well, I was saved years ago, but I've been living in a way that I know is not right before God." Well, friend, we're not here to condemn you. God's not condemning you. We're here to point you to the way to turn back to following the Holy Spirit of God and say, "I don't want to go this way anymore. I want to follow God, and I want to have His victory in my life." But again, you and I are not like that penny dropping down from the sky. You and I have a choice. God puts His hand out. God's Spirit nudges our heart, but we have to respond. And I pray this morning that we'll respond to His Spirit in the right way.